Napoleon's 1812 campaign against Russia is underway. On paper, it is the most formidable military operation Europe has ever seen. Numbers are unprecedented. 550,000 soldiers, 150,000 horses, and 30,000 wagons. Planning is meticulous. Timelines are calculated. Supply lines are mapped. The plan looks sound. And Napoleon has every reason to trust it. He has outmaneuvered armies before. He has moved faster than opponents believed possible. He has imposed outcomes through decisiveness when others hesitated. Again and again, the world has bent to his expectations. The plan does not feel reckless. It feels familiar. Orders are issued with confidence. The system responds as it always has. Columns advance. Logistics follow. The machinery of empire moves forward, powered by the assumption that execution will match intent. At first it does. Momentum builds. Early movements reinforce belief. Progress appears steady, controlled, predictable. There is no single moment that signals danger, no obvious mistake, no sharp turn. As the Grand Army advances eastward, resistance is limited. Distances stretch, but not yet alarmingly. Supply lines strain, but they do not break. Reports note delays, but nothing decisive. Nothing that cannot be managed. Napoleon continues forward. Why wouldn't he?
Welcome to the Members in the Room podcast, where we share real-life stories about leadership and their underlying human behavior rooted in science and research. We unpack and interpret the evolutionary forces behind it to help you to better lead your people for outstanding business results.
Welcome back to the Members in the Room, where we explore leadership patterns that endure across time, using history to understand the human behavior beneath pivotal decisions, because those same instincts still shape how leaders and organizations succeed or fail today. I'm Nicholas Bocconi, CEO of Mammoth Leadership Sciences. This is the fourth chapter in our journey through the rise, reign, and collapse of Napoleon Bonaparte. Up to now, this story has not been about failure. It has been about success, and what success quietly does to leaders. How confidence replaces curiosity, how momentum reduces friction, how power becomes easier to exercise just as it becomes harder to question. Today, we move into consequence. This is not a story about one disastrous decision. It is a story about many reasonable decisions made inside a perception shaped by years of being right. As we continue, keep this in mind. Collapse does not announce itself. It emerges quietly through persistence rather than panic. Okay, let's return to the campaign. Napoleon's authority remains intact, his command unquestioned. The structure around him has been shaped to respond quickly and efficiently. Doubt would slow things down, and speed has always been his advantage. This is the logic of momentum. When plans are built on confidence, hesitation feels like failure. Adjustment feels like retreat. Stopping to reassess risks, losing the very advantage success has created. The system has learned to move. What remains unspoken is that the plan assumes cooperation from weather, from geography, from logistics, from people, from reality itself. It assumes conditions will behave as they always have, that complexity will remain manageable. Those assumptions are invisible to those inside them. Napoleon does not see risk. He sees opportunity. The campaign advances not because it is flawless, but because it feels inevitable. Turning back would require questioning everything that has worked before. And this is how collapse begins, not with chaos, not with panic, but with decisions that individually make perfect sense until the world stops agreeing. At first, nothing appears broken. The rhythm of the campaign is different, but not alarmingly. Distances stretched in way maps did not fully capture. Roads dissolve into dust, mud, or ice. Supply wagons arrive later than planned. Horses weaken, men tire. None of this looks catastrophic. Each issue, taken alone, feels manageable. Delays can be absorbed, losses compensated, adjustments made. Reports remain measured, controlled, reassuring. But the environment is no longer behaving as it once did. Weather shifts from variable to adversarial. Heat drains strength. Cold hardens ground and bodies alike. Villages expected to provide support are empty, stripped bare before the army arrives. Logistics begin to fray. Food grows scarce, equipment wears down, communication slows. Orders issued from the center arrive too late to match conditions at the edge. The distance between intent and execution widens. Earlier campaigns depended on speed and concentration. Napoleon moved faster than opponents could react, forced engagement on favorable terms, and relied on living of the land. Those assumptions had been rewarded in Europe. Here, they begin to fail. The land does not yield. The distances do not compress. The environment does not adjust. Allies hesitate. Local support evaporates. What was expected to be decisive stretches into endurance. Small disruptions multiply. Friction becomes drag. And this is a critical shift, not from victory to defeat, but from control to exposure. The environment introduces variables Napoleon cannot command. Climate, geography, and human behavior operate on timelines indifferent to authority. The system that once amplified decisiveness now struggles to compensate for conditions it was never designed to manage. Still, nothing demands immediate reversal. There's no single failure that forces retreat. The campaign remains possible, just increasingly costly. This is exactly how environments defeat leaders, in military, in politics, or businesses alike. Not by collapsing outright, but by refusing to cooperate. By eroding assumptions slowly enough that adaptation feels optional. And when environments stop cooperating, leaders face a choice. They can slow down, reassess, and revise assumptions. Or they can commit harder to the path already chosen. Napoleon chooses commitment. Setbacks do not look like signals to change direction. They look like obstacles to overcome. Delays are temporary, losses acceptable. Resistance, something more effort can resolve. This is not stubbornness, it is consistency. Napoleon's identity has been forged by pressing forward when others hesitated. Retreat has never been his strength. Escalation has. And so, escalation feels rational. Orders intensify. Timelines compress. Expectations rise. The system is asked to perform under worsening conditions because it always has before. The belief is simple. Tighten execution and outcomes will follow. Each additional commitment now increases exposure. Supply lines stretch further. Troops exhaust. Coordination becomes harder. What once amplified strength now magnifies vulnerability. This is a trap. The more invested a leader becomes, the harder it becomes to reverse course. Turning back would not only concede failure, it would undermine the narrative that sustained success. Napoleon reframes internally. If conditions are not improving, commitment must be incomplete. The solution is not adaptation, but resolve. The system reinforces this logic. Warnings soften. Concerns are paired with reassurance. No one wants to be the voice that questions direction after so much has been invested. Confirming evidence and sunk cost biases each by themselves have brought campaigns down. Together, they kill empires. Escalation becomes collective. Each step forward compounds the cost of stopping. Resources sink. Decisions stack. reversal grows more expensive with every mile advanced. Napoleon is not blind to difficulty. He believes he can still master them. This is how leaders become trapped by past success. Pressure solved problems before, persistence won before, hesitation lost before. But those lessons depend on conditions. When the environment no longer rewards force, doubling down accelerates loss. The moment when adaptation is required and still possible quietly slips away. Eventually, orders stop behaving the way leaders expect. And this is what leaders fear most, loss of control. Napoleon continues to command. Instructions remain clear. Authority remains unquestioned in principle. But results no longer follow. Units arrive late or not at all. Moments drift out of alignment. Plans unravel as delays compound. What once felt coordinated now feels fragmented. This is not insubordination. It is limitation. The system is exhausted. Men are hungry, cold, ill. Horses collapse. Equipment breaks. Supply routes disappear. Communication falters. Napoleon's authority still exists, but it no longer produces outcomes. And this distinction matters. Power depends not just on command, but on capacity. When capacity collapses, authority becomes symbolic. And symbolic authority cannot move armies. Napoleon responds by centralizing decisions. When coordination fails, leaders tighten control. More decisions flow upward, and then responsibility concentrates at the top. Instead of restoring order, it accelerates breakdown. Information arrives late and incomplete, and decisions are made with diminishing awareness. Orders from the center are disconnected from conditions on the ground. The hierarchy fails. Local initiative decline and compliance replaces judgment. The system becomes rigid precisely when flexibility is required. This is collapse of control, not sudden implosion, but decoupling between intent and effect. Napoleon can still decide, he can still demand, but decisions no longer shape reality predictably. The illusion of control dissolves quietly. And as control erodes, something else happens. The space around the leader empties. Napoleon is surrounded by people, aides, officers, messengers, but the density of real exchange thins. Conversations shorten, reports simplify, nuance disappears. Isolation does not mean abandonment, it means distance. Advisors hesitate to challenge assumptions as they sense the narrowing tolerance for complexity. The leader receives fewer challenges, not because reality has simplified, but because the system no longer knows how to deliver them. Decision-making compresses inward. Responsibility concentrates. Choices accelerate. Reflection shrinks. Each decision carries more weight while being informed by less reliable information. Leadership becomes lonely. And by late 1812, retreat becomes unavoidable. Not traumatic, not sudden, just unavoidable. Losses accumulate, movement slows. The system no longer responds to effort. What once could be forced now resists entirely. Napoleon understands what is happening. He recognizes the limits. He sees that assumptions no longer hold, but recognition does not equal repair. By the time insight arrives, the structure required to act on it is gone. Coordination has collapsed, resources are depleted, trust eroded. Understanding arrives too late. Leaders often assume awareness is enough. But systems do not pause for insight. They continue to degrade while realization catches up. Napoleon adjusts where he can. Orders shift, objectives narrow, but these changes manage decline rather than reverse it. Leadership becomes containment rather than control. There is no single mistake to undo. No decision that restores alignment. The collapse is cumulative and irreversible. This is reckoning, not punishment, consequence. From the original 550 to 600,000 soldiers, only around 100,000 make it back. Napoleon's following removal from power is procedural, almost understated. Institutions recalibrate, allies distance themselves, the system continues just without him. He is forced to abdicate and is exiled to Elba in 1814. History begins to reinterpret him immediately. Victories reassessed, failures magnified. Traits once celebrated are reframed as liabilities. The arc becomes tidy. Here is one universal truth. Leadership is not a permanent possession. It is a relationship between human behavior and external conditions. When that relationship breaks, momentum stalls, often before the leader fully understands why. Now, this looks like the end, but history is not finished. Because removing a leader from power does not always remove the belief that they still belong at the center. And sometimes what follows collapse is not acceptance, but return. And that is where we go next time. All right, if this episode resonated with you, whether as a leader, a student of history, or someone curious about why power unfolds the way it does, please subscribe, rate, and share it with someone in your network who would appreciate this kind of perspective. And if you want to go deeper right now, you can order my book. It shares the title of this podcast, The Mammoth in the Room. It's a practical roadmap showing how great leaders and their teams can embrace evolutionary truths for outstanding results. And it does that in 3 sections, on people, on strategy, and on implementation. Until next time, lead wisely, think critically, and don't let ancient instincts hijack your modern leadership. I'm Nicholas Bocconi, and this is The Mammoth in the Room.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoy this content, don't forget to subscribe. I'll see you on the next episode of The Mammoth in the Room.